Welcome to a Vashon Minute, where we take a moment to focus on one island issue or one island person at a time. Opinions expressed on this show are those of the participants alone and do not reflect the opinions of anyone officially associated with Voice of Vashon. I'm Susan McCabe, your host for this episode, where we're going to talk about aging creatively. To help us explore the options, I am joined by Vashon blogger, author, podcaster, and specialist in the topic. She is Sally Jean Fox. Welcome, Sally.
Thanks, Susan. It's so great to be here.
It is so nice to have you here. I have to admit, I am a big fan of your weekly blog titled Engaging Presence. And since you have now published a book, I'd like to refer to one that you wrote last April titled 9 Reasons Not to Write a Book. What would you change from that list now that you have published a book?
Well, when people hear that title, they're going to think, oh, she is totally a spoilsport. And in some ways, I am, because I hear a lot of people out there, and I'm sure you know them too, who say, I'm going to write a book someday. And with a lot of them, I want to say, go write. Just go out in your cabin. Spend 20 minutes a day writing. Get those writing chops going. And then come back, and we'll talk about book. But don't spin your wheels saying you're going to write a book and not write, you know. The thing that the caveat with my little funny blog post is, if you really want to write a book, if that's what your heart's saying yes to, then you will write a book. And then the question is how to shape your life around it, give yourself to it, devote yourself, and be ready for the rock and roll, both emotionally and technically, that writing a book represents. Because it's not the ticket. You know, a lot of people think, oh, you know, I write a book and then I will be an acclaimed author and, you know, my life will be different. And you go, you'll write a book and you'll probably be poorer and you'll be facing the mountain that's called promoting your book and publicizing your book in a very crowded marketplace. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't. If it's your calling, if it's your heart, if it's your passion, if the muse is saying yes, you should write the book.
Yeah, and I want to hear more about the muse too. I love how you close this particular blog. If you're lucky, your family will hang with you, but friends may stop calling. So think about it. As you've just mentioned, the whole process will wreak havoc with your pocketbook, your ego, your social life, and your sleep. If you want to write, save yourself the misery and write anything else. A blog, an essay, a poetic shopping list. So you've written a book now. How's it going?
It really depends on your metric. If you, in terms of being on the New York Times bestseller list, I'll probably never make it. They have their own criteria, you know. Mm-hmm. In terms of reaching people who matter to me and getting really great reviews, it's wonderful. And the best thing of all is when I hear somebody say to me, I read your book, it really moved me, and I decided to, and then you fill in the blank. So people have told me that they've actually decided to start painting, or they're learning to draw, or they're going to write this year, or they have a project in mind, or they're going to go back to. And because my book wasn't a how-to book, it was a memoir, it's my journey. And I deliberately didn't make it a how-to book because I trusted that people would find their own way after reading about mine. And that's what's happening, and it is absolutely glorious. And that's opening the way to a lot of sharing and a lot of conversations. So on that level, it's super, but I'm not quite viral yet.
the book is titled Meeting the Muse After Midlife, A Journey to Meeting Creativity and Joy. The material in that book is an inspiration, obviously. How do you plan to use the material that you developed for that book now that the book is out there?
There are two ways. One is a bit of a calling for me and the other is more practical. I'll start with the practical because when I was writing the book, I had this idea that I would write a book about my story that was full of tips and techniques for other people. And I went down that road for several years. And a good friend, a mutual friend, finally let me know that it wasn't really working. And the muse, that inner voice that was inspiring my creativity actually gave me a no-go and said, Sally, you can't do them together. You've got to start with your story, and then you'll talk to other people about what they can do and do the tips and techniques. And I said, you know, I argued back a little bit because last thing I wanted to do was a memoir. You know, I'm one of these people, like so many of us, who say, my story, you know, I'm not rich and famous. I'm no celebrity. Who's going to want my story? So I didn't want to go the route of memoir, but the book did. And the thing that I found is that people, celebrity memoirs are fun, but there's something about reading the story of somebody like you who goes through the same trials and tribulations, who you can relate to and you can glean lessons from. And that was the book that I wrote.
And I think that is about making the personal universal. So what are the challenges for you in doing that? Because you're writing something personal, you're making yourself very vulnerable with that if you're really going for your truth. But then somehow you have to pull back and make it universal. What kind of challenges did you run into in that process?
That wasn't a terrible challenge for me because I'd heard the adage, you know, make it particular and you'll hit the universal. And I think that did. The vulnerability question was a different one for me because up until I was maybe 62, 63, a lot of my persona was being a successful consultant. And so I wore the coat of, you know, I've got an MBA from Yale, I have a PhD, I've got another degree, I need to be credible. And you can hear the lower bass tone, credible, which unfortunately, when I was growing up, meant that I needed to be like tall, dark, handsome, and probably male to pull yes. off the consulting role that I wanted to pull off. So here I am admitting in my own book that I am a complex person. And sometimes I'm a mess and I judge myself a lot. And I don't have that confidence all the time that I'm supposed to be projecting as a consultant, you know, all that stuff. And so I'm kind of going raw with it. And the other thing that was particularly challenging for me was, again, I'm very practical. I've got a Yale MBA. I keep coming back to that. And I'm talking about the muse. And the muse is this part spiritual, creative, inner voice, which I don't talk about to my business colleagues. And so I wrestled with that for a couple years before I thought, can I go public with some of my more spiritual, private, soulful ideas? That was hard.
Did that feel like you were somehow discrediting your credentials, if you will?
The part of me that is wary did. What's come out of it? And, you know, the beauty in writing a book like this is that it changes you. You're not the same person. And I had to grow into my own book. And as I grew into my own book, I felt like, you know, by being able to stand strong in who I am, the crazy combo, spiritual, strategic, whatever that I am, I did feel stronger. And I had a different kind of confidence and a different kind of wisdom. So I came out the better for it.
You know, I'm going to, because I think you've been very successful at that, I just want to read some of the titles of your blog, because they're ironic and they're sensitive. Some of them are pretty funny. Let's see. Well, this isn't funny. Dealing with collective grief during the holidays. Big one. When crazy is truly sane. The courage to be mediocre. I loved that one. Because that's kind of what you're talking about. The courage to be mediocre. And what's in your manifesto? What did you get out of that one?
What's in your manifesto?
Yeah. Did people write back their manifestos?
Some people did. Some people shared their manifestos. Not everybody who is inspired by the blog writes me. So I don't always know. But it helped me. You know, sometimes I'm writing because it helps me. And I was doing my first ever art show at a gallery downtown. I was so excited, and we needed a big wall piece. And I said, I will put my manifesto onto the wall.
Wow.
So it was great, because when you write a manifesto, you have to dig deep into what do you really believe. Mm-hmm. And so I came out with a manifesto that is the beginning of a, you know, a new ebook. And so it was really fun to do. Yeah, it was really fun to do.
And what if I were going to write a manifesto, how would you define that for me? What do I start with?
Well, you could kind of picture it like you are on the other side of the microphone and I'm asking you, what do you believe? What's most important to you? If we were going to talk about the creative path and creative expression and what's at the core, what would you have to say? So it's not like what are the 10 most important points in the world, but what is true for you? And I like that because it makes you dig deep and mm-hmm. say what is important. And for me, and see, this is the other part of what I'm about, I really want people to anchor their creative path in their inner call. And it's hard to do that in a world that equates success with how many did you sell and how much did you make and how famous are you. But that kills creativity for a lot of us. And so the creative manifesto that I have, that I share and that I'm hoping to pull from others, is all about going into that inner place that knows what you're about and trusting it and realizing that if what you're doing is feeding your soul, that's good enough.
And I think that's a good segue to some workshops that you're going to be offering at the Senior Center. How are you going to incorporate this idea of going deeper in those workshops?
Well, that's a great question. I haven't really thought about it yet, but what I'm here for is to encourage everybody to reconsider the notion of aging, you know, because it's so dreary in our culture and it is so dead-ended or hypothetically illusory happy, you know, and aging isn't a easy road and it's not a tragedy. It's what we all face. So to be able to say, you know, we can become more creative as we age. We get more creative if you seize the day and the opportunity. And then let my own personal stories come alive so that people will hear. And for some that they may ring and for some it won't. But I want to follow it up then with stories from other fantastic creators on the island who are also wrestling with how do I stay true to myself and my own inner calling despite all those other little voices, what I call the gremlins that may be in the back of your mind saying you should have been, you should do.
That inner critic.
Yeah, the inner critic. Yeah. How to be able to say, I'm here, I'm doing what I'm called to do. That's what I do. And from there, I can create in so many different ways.
Well, and as we get older, I think we can let go of so many of the restrictions that we had when we were supposedly building careers, supposedly building families, etc. A lot of that restrictive coverage can be sloughed off, and that might help people get to
totally
their basic truth.
And that's a lot of the book. You know, when you, as you read it, you'll see that, you know, I struggled with so many you can't or you're not supposed to, the biggest of which was you're not a visual artist. And to actually break through that was transformational. And that's part of what I'm going to share at the Senior Center.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun. When are you going to do that? Are they scheduled?
Yeah, we're scheduled. We're a week from Wednesday, January 24th at 12:45.
Thank you. Okay. Sally Fox, we're about out of time, but one of your recent blogs was titled Fasten Your Seatbelts, It's 2024. We are talking the day after Donald Trump won wildly in the Iowa caucuses. What kind of advice do you have for getting through 2024?
Go deeper. The surface of the news is going to be really difficult this year. It already is. And chances are it's going to get worse. And we're going to get in a maelstrom of pundits and ideas and, oh, woe is us, we're going down. But for those of us who are willing to do the inner work, there are going to be breakthroughs. There are going to be opportunities and a chance to really develop our consciousness in a way that the world needs right now. So we've got a great opportunity as long as we don't spin out in the turbulence that's likely to come.
Good advice. Thank you, Sally Fox.
Thank you so much, Susan, for joining us here.
And thank you, dear listeners. You've been listening to A Vashon Minute. Stay tuned to Voice of Vashon. You never know what might come next.